Other lawyers might have dropped the case, citing lack of funds, for Grossman was still covering the expenses. But Leonard Grossman had vowed to stand by the women, and he did not let them down. He just collapsed after overworking on this case, his wife, Trudel, said. Perhaps Radium Dial were hoping either he or the girls would give up the fight, maybe run out of money. But they were battling in Catherine's memory now, and that was a powerful motivator. Grossman had to get a special license to be admitted to the Supreme Court. "That license was under glass in our house forever," said his son. "He talked about the case. He was proud of it, and the scrapbooks were always in the middle of the bookshelf. I heard some of the stories over and over again. I grew up with this case." "When the case went to the Supreme Court," he went on, "my parents both went to Washington for it. I looked it up. Cert denied. The court decided not to hear it. It meant they were upholding the lower court." Catherine Wolfe Donoghue had won her case. She won it 8 times in total. But the final victory came on 23rd of October 1939. The papers described her battle for justice as one of the most spectacular fights against industrial occupational hazards. Now, that battle was at an end. Finally at an end. It was a pure, clean victory, with no clouds or contingencies to sully it. No settlement. No board of doctors to poke and prod and say that there was no such thing as radium poisoning. No firm reneging on an out-of-court agreement that had been made in good faith. Now there were no more legal machinations, no lawyers twisting words, no law itself whose unclear wording tied mercy up in knots. It was outright justice, plain and true. The women had been vindicated. The Dial painters had won. And it was Catherine Wolfe Donoghue, in the end, who had led them to victory. "If there are saints on earth," one commentator said, "and you believe in that, I think Catherine Wolfe Donoghue was one of them. I really do." She was buried in St. Columba Cemetery. She has a simple, flat gravestone, as unobtrusive and as neat and tidy as she herself had been in life. Epilogue. The Radium Girls did not die in vain. Although the women could not save themselves from the poison which riddled their bones, in countless ways their sacrifice saved many thousands of others. 50 days before the final triumph in Catherine Donoghue's case, war was declared in Europe. It meant that there was, once again, an enormous demand for luminous dials to light the dashboards of military machines and the wristwatches of soldiers taking up arms. Yet, thanks to Catherine and Grace and their colleagues' bravery in speaking out about what had happened to them, dial painting was now the most feared occupation among young women. No longer could the government sit idly by. The Radium Girl's demise demanded a response. Safety standards were introduced, which protected a whole new generation of dial painters, based entirely on knowledge gained from the bodies of those women who had come before. The standards were set not a moment too soon, for 7 months later, America formally entered the war. The US radium dial painting industry exploded, with USRC alone increasing its personnel by 1,600%. Radium dials were even bigger business than the first time round. The United States use more than 190 grams of radium for luminous dials during the Second World War. In contrast, fewer than 30 grams were used worldwide in the earlier conflict.